Hello, hello. You are listening to La Bonne Heure here on CITR 101.9 FM, located on the ancestral, traditional, and unceded territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. My name is Valley, and I'm going to be your host today. Also in the studio with us, we have someone here to give us some very important weather updates.
Hi, and that's where I come in. I'm Charles Kane, and I'm here to report the weather for the day. So right now it's currently 8 degrees,
and sunset is at 4:14, so
4:14.
Make sure you get the most of it.
That's so early.
It's ridiculously early.
There
is some rain coming, so
oh, no.
Tonight, watch out.
What time?
Rain will start at around 11 p.m.
Okay, be careful, everyone.
Stay safe
dry.
Out there.
Stay safe. Stay safe and stay dry. Yeah, I'm not a big daylight saving fan. I really, really don't like daylight savings, so boo. Oh,
no, yeah, no one does.
No one does. Exactly. Why is it still around? So the plan for today, thank you very much, Charles. It was a very informational content.
You know, I did my best to rehearse for that, so I'm glad it was a hit.
Today we're going to be chatting with an American band called Juice. You may have heard their songs before, or you may have seen them when they were last in Vancouver. They were here in September at the Malkin Bowl, opening up for Ocean Alley, who we'll actually be chatting to next week. So I was able to chat with Benjamin and Kamau from Juice, and right before I move on to my lovely chat with them, I'm going to play you one of their songs. This is called Love No More by Juice.
Change. Say that you need me. yeah. Are we going back to the time you looked at me and made me free? All I feel like I might just my lose control of me. You said all I think about is me. How long till I go crazy? All my friends said I should walk away. You said all this love might just might float and fade and fall away. Used to talk like every day, corny verses through the phone. Paragraphs with calluses and Kanye was defensible. This ends in the beginning, love no love no more. That's why that's what was picture perfect. Help me when I thought that I would die, yeah. Do you want to hold my hand? Yes. Maybe we'll forget the things we said. Maybe we'll forget the things we said.
We can get started. I'm here with Kamau and Benjamin from Juice, and we're gonna have a few kind of random questions first and then stick more to the music and a little spoiler alert, but some touring questions as well, which I'm looking forward to. So I hope you guys will too. So to start off, I like to ask questions based on band names or musician names. And so I have to ask, do you guys have a favorite and a least favorite juice flavor?
Mango juice is maybe my favorite.
Mango is delicious.
It's so good.
I lean towards the tropical flavors. You know how it goes, because we're in a desolate and cold tundra.
Northeast, baby.
I don't know.
Least favorite? I don't know.
Yeah, like
maybe grape.
Grape. I've never like gone out and bought myself like grape juice as an adult, I don't think.
It seems like it would be so much better than it actually is, I think.
Yeah, that's fair.
I do agree with that. I think I really, though, have to say, very thick guava juice can kind of throw me off a bit. I kind of get a little bit of the ick from that.
Yeah, if you start messing with the texture, it can throw anything off.
Yeah, like calm down, you know?
Get a hold of yourself, guava.
Yeah. I don't know. Send all the thick juices my way. I'm down. Pulp it up.
smoothie fan?
I have a shake every day, a smoothie, yeah.
There you go.
I think the tricky area, if it's warm and thick, then that's a problem.
Yeah. Then you need to see a doctor.
PSA for everyone.
PSA.
My next question is a bit of a like an Inception kind of question. And so I asked my roommate, I was like, can you think of any fun questions with the word juice in them? And she was like, oh my God, I have this really funny question. And she was laughing when she said it to me. But her question was, if you like gossip, how juicy do you like your gossip? Thoughts on that question? So this is more of a, do you find that question funny? Are you on my side or are you on my roommate's side? Basically,
well, what side are you on?
I didn't think it was that funny. I won't lie. I didn't think it was that great. I was like,
I think I'm on your side, Val.
Now you're on my side? Okay, good. Yeah. Okay.
I'll play devil's advocate. It's up there for me. It's actually my favorite question.
Wow, okay.
I'm gonna go. I'm actually, yeah. That's it. I'm done. That's okay.
Yeah, we can go drink some guava juice.
There you go. Okay, you guys have a song called "End of the World." If there was, let's say, an apocalypse. Okay, what do you think your role would be? Do you think you're like the hunter or like the protector or like the forager, or what do you think you would be doing in an apocalypse situation?
Keem, I know you have an amazing answer for this, so I want you to go first.
All right, so I feel like my instinct is we're immediately, I'm going to find some homies, make a stronghold, build a little community, and I'm like the community plumber slash like MacGyver guy.
Okay.
Like I don't really want to deal with combat or foraging, so like when the communal lavatory breaks, like I'll fix it probably.
You think you guys are using a real toilet in an apocalypse? You don't think you're just like out in the woods? Like
I think I would dig like a really long hole because I'd get bored and it'd be like, this is where we all do the business, guys. Get with it.
Is that why you joined a boy band, so that you could have that community ready to go in case of that happening?
I'm really just seeing who my people are for when it all goes to hell.
Hey.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely like played this game before, but in more of like a fantasy sort of thing. But I don't know. What's my answer to this? I think when we do this sort of game within our band, I usually get put as like, oh, the big guy with the big axe. Like, you got to go hit something now, you know. But I'm actually like quite like a peaceful guy. So I think my role would be sort of like a counselor, I feel like, for people that are like kind of freaking out, and just like being an even keeled, like helpful, uplifting kind of presence.
I tribe see therapist.
Like, yeah.
Cult leader, some might say.
some might say. Everyone else do the fighting for me. I'm out of here.
Thank you.
And then you have another song, which we'll talk about a little bit later again, but you have a song called Becoming a Stranger. I want to imagine that you end up in a world where you could re-meet one member of Juice for the first time at the stage of your life that you're in now. So for some reason, it's like a Peter Parker situation, and they, you know, everyone forgets who you are, and you can re-meet just one member of the band. Who would you like to re-meet for the first time?
Honestly, Kamau, it might be you. Because I have, you're like my kindred soul. I feel like he and I are just like, you get us going in a room and nothing intelligible will come out, but it will be extremely fulfilling for the two of us. And so, like, if that had been deprived from my life up until this point and then it came, I'd be like, whoa, this is the best thing ever. So that would be pretty cool. Yeah. And now you can't say me because I took that answer.
Damn it. Well, that's fair enough. But I do enjoy meeting people. Like, everyone in the band has a baseline level of a condition we call domelessness, where we can just run with a bit and, yeah, not intelligible for long periods of time. And when I meet those kinds of people out in the wild, it brings me immense comfort. So, yeah, it'd be like Rom has a really great proclivity towards that. I'd say Rami, the bass player, if you're not privy. Yeah, I feel like meeting Rami in the wild would be crazy.
Yeah, it would be. You'd have to work real hard to like get him to talk to you though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last random question was, in a pretty old interview, you guys said that you love One Direction. Who's your favorite One Direction member?
Simon Cowell.
Okay. Crazy answer. That's like, okay. Bold. Come out.
Bold. Is Guy Fieri in One Direction, or did he transfer to the Jonas Brothers?
I'll count that.
Yeah. Guy Fieri.
Okay. Great. I think Guy Fieri and Simon Cowell should just start their own boy band. Little duo.
I think so. They've been holding him back for way too long.
True. Yeah, I think
get Gordon Ramsay on board.
I feel like that would be a very toxic environment, and then just Guy Fieri trying to get them to all get along.
Yeah, they're single. These scallops are raw.
I'm excited. I'm really excited for this. We should pitch this to them.
Yeah, if you're listening, Simon Cowell, Guy Fieri, Gordon Ramsay, you know what to do.
You know what to do. So talking a little bit more about the music, I wanted to ask you a little bit about your creative process. So obviously there's quite a few members in Juice. How do you split things? Who kind of takes what reins?
Sure. That's a great question. I think that we've done a pretty good job of keeping things open and allowing people to express themselves when they feel the spirit moving. So I don't think our roles are really that defined, which has been really good for expanding our creative ethos, but can also like serve as somewhat of a hindrance. You know, if like in any organization or anything, it's sometimes good to have some definition. But I think it served us well, and it's spawned a lot of really unique ideas just from different people. But broad strokes, I mean, one of us might come up with an idea, maybe it's a poem or a progression, or maybe we're jamming or something. And then really it just sort of becomes, all right, who really cares about this? Who's really feeling it? Like, put in some legwork, let's refine it together, and then let's make it happen. So.
To myself.
Do you, this is a question for both of you. You might have to take a couple seconds to think about it, but do you have a contribution that you've made to a specific song that you're incredibly proud of, whether that is, you know, like you said, a progression or a lyric or anything like that?
It's a great question. Kim, anything come to mind?
I think one of the contributions I've made that I find the most interesting, because I mean the guys in the band have a wonderful habit of, you know, just hyping each other up and finding the gold in every idea. I had like a very simple chord progression a long time ago in college, and that was the progression to Working on Lovin', and everyone kept bringing it up. I was like, what is with you guys in this freaking progression? Now it's one of our most streamed songs, and yeah, probably one of my favorite to perform. So I think that's a cool moment for me.
Hell yeah. For me, I don't know. I like some of the cello stuff I did on Stupid Freak, but I also really like, there's a song that is not out yet. I sometimes like to go into the vocal booth. I mean, we have certain parts when we go into the studio already arranged, but then I like to take a few passes of just like in the moment, spur of the, that's generally how I like to write, even, is just like sort of just getting in there, turning off my brain. And there's a between two stems, between two tracks at the end of this song, it's called Cruelest Thing. I don't mind saying that now. It's okay. Right at the end of the song, there's these two vocal parts that are sort of just like weaving in and out of each other, and I find it incredibly satisfying, and it was completely unplanned, and I'm very pleased with it. I enjoy that. I'd say that's my answer.
Those are both great. It's really nice to have something that's quite an older side of things and then something that's new and not even out yet, so we can really hear. And it's nice too to see how far you guys have come together as a band as well. And speaking of things that aren't out yet or that are just quite recently out, you released a couple weeks ago, you released two songs. So Becoming a Stranger that we mentioned earlier, as well as Hard to Feel Love Sometimes. Could you tell me a little bit about the inspiration behind those or the themes?
Sure. I feel like a common thread in our music is like dissociating. I guess that's a little bit too specific. Maybe I think in our band journey, especially post COVID, we had to sort of like refine our creative voice, I think. Like after Boy Story was released and just like re-entering into the world. I mean, I know that everybody had really confusing periods of time. And around COVID, and I think we were not immune to that. So Becoming a Stranger was sort of like a, and Hard to Feel too, I think they both sort of hit this like this note of I don't like really remember who I am anymore, perhaps, and sort of reconnecting or trying, reaching really hard to reconnect to those things that, like, you know, to be true about yourself or the people that like are your loved ones know to be true about you. And just like the anxiety in and around that phenomenon.
Do you find that being a part of a larger project instead of like a solo act helped you with that reconnection? Because you were able to rely on each other, maybe?
I'm glad you asked that, because what that made, the question before just made me think of is, I feel like our particular career choice forces us to confront themes of identity a lot, probably in a way that
every day
in a like a daily kind of way. So, yeah, in a sense that a lot of people maybe don't have aren't confronted with all the time. It's you know, we're in the public eye, and then we have our spaces to ourselves, and then the ways in which we relate to one another. So it is sort of a, a constant practice and meditation and reflection on, you know, where we are and how we sit in ourselves and how we relate to one another.
And certainly knowing that the people that I've chosen to like do life with are going through the same things is definitely comforting.
Very comforting.
Got me fired up over the little things, all these petty things. I'm not ready, babe. Told me you'll be back tomorrow. If only you knew I was sleeping the day you away. The sun's still waking me up, babe. Baby, I've been working on loving, but you don't seem to care about nothing. And I need someone to love. Someone to love. Baby, I've been working on loving, but you don't seem to care about nothing. And I need someone to love. Someone to love. Staring up, I'm broken down, I'll consult the clock, but you blow me off and you don't really come to me. Told me you'd be back tomorrow. If only you knew I was sleeping the day you away. The sun's still waking me up, babe. Baby, I've been working on loving, but you don't seem to care about nothing. And I need someone to love. Someone to love. Baby, I've been working on loving, but you don't seem to care about nothing. And I need someone to love. Someone to love.
About the two songs that have come out, and we heard a little bit of a spoiler of some potential new music. Would you say that you're taking your music in a new direction with this upcoming project, or would you say that you're kind of building on previous material?
So I think in the same vein of what we were talking about just prior to this, this project sort of served as, at least for us, for our band, like a recapturing of our identity. So I think in a way, this project is like the most mature essence of like who we are or who we've been as a band. And I think it was like very triumphant for us to like get that out and like really be proud of something that's like, okay, this is like sort of like the fundamentals of like where we've been. And I think you know, before we start branching off into other territory, which we've already done. We've actually like had some really sick jams recently of like a it's not like we're like becoming a heavy metal band or something, becoming a stranger, becoming a heavy metal band. or anything, but it's really just like, it's more nuanced. I think some people probably might not even notice it, but I'd say this was like a triumphant return to source for us as a band. And I'm sure that the next music will probably reflect something a little bit different, but that's what's fun and exciting about being an artist.
So it's kind of like a lovely little recap of your band and of your music, in a way.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Cheeks are pink and white. I know that look, I've seen it before. She steps out now, slowly shuts the door. Her chemical curse courses through my veins. A wisp of her hair tangled in my brain. I go in the morning, I want more. And if I stay in the morning, I'll just want to say, Audrey, tell me I'm your favorite guy. Audrey, tell me.
talk a little bit more about touring and about shows and concerts. You mentioned that you came to Vancouver, and it was your first time in Vancouver performing here. Are you looking forward to coming back? What's something that stood out, other than the fact that it was sunny, about Vancouver for you?
Oh man, that Vancouver was sick. I think it was. I mean, don't tell anyone. I think it was one of my favorite on the whole support tour. Every time we recap it, I'm just like, Vancouver felt like a futuristic utopia that you see in like Mass Effect or something. It just seems like it's a beautiful city, truly. And we got a really warm reception while we were there. So. Definitely looking forward to coming back.
That's lovely to hear. Would you say you have any other cities that really stood out to you or that you're really looking forward to going to during this tour?
I feel like it's just the Canada cities. Like, really?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because it's like it's more or less uncharted territory. I mean, we've been twice to Toronto now, once to Montreal, once to Vancouver, but it's like, it still feels fresh. Mm-hmm. And just like really encountering, it's, you know, like that fan base and the energy there is tangibly different when you're performing, especially. So that's like really cool. I always love going back to Canada. And definitely our New York show. I'm excited. We haven't had a headline in New York in quite some time. And that's like a homecoming for a lot of us. So that's always a massive party, and like seeing friends and family out there is just like unlike anything. So
no doubt,
that'll be great. I'm excited for that show for you guys. Do you have
any... come out?
Yeah, I'll fly to New York for that one, and then fly back to Vancouver.
Yeah. Hop in the van.
Yeah, I'll just tour with you guys. Actually,
save
me a seat on the bus. Do you have, maybe looking at previous shows, favorite, and maybe on the flip side, a least favorite show memory? Or maybe like a weirdest show memory if you don't have one that was bad.
What are you thinking about?
No, nothing, dude, nothing. Nothing at all, bro. Well, we had this... I hate to start off on a bad note, but on the recent tour, I was like really sick for one of the shows, and that makes me feel horrible. Like, I mean, I went through it, and I wanted to be there for the guys and for the fans, but just to like not be able to sing how I want to do, and just, I don't know, it made me feel icky and like really depressed. But I got healthy shortly after, which is good. But yeah, pretty much you just like, someone's always gonna get sick on tour, and it sucks, but that time it was me.
They'll do it to you. It's I keep bringing this one up, but now that I've started talking about it, I can't get out of my memory. The arcade in yes. Birmingham. There is a venue called Saturn in Birmingham, Alabama, and they had every console, but like a bar area with pretty much every video game console imaginable. So that was my favorite like pre-show hangout that I'd done in a long time. And the green room looked like the set of New Girl. It was like a beautiful loft with like fully livable. And I think the Dip, who was we were touring with at the time, they stayed there. We had to leave.
But not before we played ping pong.
Not before we played ping pong, though.
You guys good at ping pong?
I'm pretty good at ping pong.
You're pretty good. I'm not. I'm a tennis player, so I always overswing.
Miles and Rami are pretty decent too.
Yeah, Rami's decent.
And our photographer Sam is very good.
Oh yeah, Sam is nasty.
Come out when you guys come to Vancouver. I'm trying to relearn tennis, so
I got you.
Let me know. We can go play some tennis.
I'll dust off my serve and I'll bring an extra racket.
I've got two, so don't even.
Oh, let's play doubles.
Oh, doubles would be fun.
There you go. Yeah. And that would be nice too, because Kamau sounds like he's like tennis, and I'm like,
yeah. Tennis?
Yeah, maybe. Like, I dabble, you know? I play like twice a year, every like 5 years.
That's right. Same.
Okay, good. Okay, glad.
Soon we'll say goodbye. So get in the car, baby. Bring your guitar and we'll chase the moon tonight. Oh yeah. And I wanna breathe you in. The air up here so thin. Your waist, those lips, that face. Girl, I really like this for you.
Any other than ping pong and, you know, arcade games, do you have any maybe pre-show rituals?
It depends on the general vibe of where we are. I feel like the first like few weeks of tour, everyone's super high energy, gung-ho, and then like you start to kind of get tired a few weeks in. And then things like meditation or like doing like a quick like few push-ups or like running around or something, like gets the things going, gets the juices flowing. I'm sure, you know, we'll have a beer every so often. But nothing really, like we'll write the set list like and just go. it's really just like the being together and joking around. I feel like it's always going down, and it kind of gets you in a headspace of doing something like collective, putting a collective effort towards something. So.
What could people expect if they went to a Juice show? Do you have maybe a few things that stand out, or a favorite song that you love to perform, or just, you know, say tomorrow night I'm going to a Juice show. What should I expect?
Prepare to dance, at least for stretches of the show. It's not a show I'd imagine people would want to wear like high heels to or whatever. It's you know, we've been working on our set list for as long as we've been together, but we definitely try and, you know, make it have a contour and a narrative, at least emotionally. So, you know, there's times where you'll be dancing around and then it slows down a bit. You get a chance to breathe and maybe hug your friends and neighbors. And then we like to end with a bang typically.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty electric. I'll just say that it's very dynamic. Don't wear socks because they'll be blown off.
I was like, whoa. Okay, I'll make sure I take them off after tennis, but before the show.
Before the show, yeah.
You're gonna need them for tennis.
Oh yeah, definitely. Kamau, you mentioned a little bit about the set list and coming up with this story within the set list, and that's something that I remember reading in an interview you guys did when you released the album back in 2021, was that it really was a whole story, and that you really thought about the list and the flow of songs. Do you think that you try to approach your set list in a similar way of creating a story, of creating that same kind of flow?
We're being very intentional with how we're crafting it. For the headline tour, I mean, we've had the privilege of being on several supporting tours in the past year and some change, where our set time is a lot more condensed. So, you know, we have our 8 songs on average that we get to do, which we have a definitely a lot of freedom to work with that. But now, since the buzzer runs a little longer, it gives us some time to be creative and intentional with some songs, instead of trying to, you know, get in certain songs just because these are our show stoppers, and giving space for a narrative, because it takes time, and it's nice to have the time to communicate with the audience in such a way.
Mm-hmm.
That's lovely. That sounds very exciting to hear a story. It's kind of like when people, you know, listen to albums, and some people really start from the beginning and listen all the way through to kind of hear that intention. And then some people are like, oh, I just put it on shuffle. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, we're kind of old school with that approach. And I think we've worked really hard over the past few months to inject that into our live show in a way that I think we haven't before. Mm-hmm. I think everything's going to flow together really nicely.
I have one last, it's not really a question, it's more of a favor. You mentioned that you guys did some supporting over the past year and some change. And one of the bands that you were supporting is Ocean Alley, which the craziest coincidence, and I didn't even know the correlation until, you know, I started doing research for these. I'm interviewing them later on today.
Yo, say what's up for us. That's great.
I need you guys to tell me some like really niche that maybe happened on tour or that you know about them. So that's what I'm looking for today.
I think it's the nicknames thing for me that sticks out the most. They've all got like different nicknames. Like Chainsaw,
Kobe,
Crispy Nick. That's good. Calm, crispy Nick.
I'm sure you'd raise some eyebrows if you ask them. If you ask Crispy, why?
So tell me about Crispy. I feel like a lot of the stuff we can't say on.
Fair enough.
Don't break
the code, band.
But it was such a fun time. Those guys are truly the homies.
Yeah, real gems of people.
So wish them our love for sure.
I will.
Oh! I got one. Okay. All right,
you got one.
Yeah, ask Tom or Locke about the brown snakes and how his dog is.
Oh, true.
Ask him about the brown snakes. Brown snake issue in Australia.
Okay, I will. Okay, great, wonderful.
That was good.
Well, with that, I wanted to say thank you so much for chatting with me. It's been a pleasure, and good luck on your tour.
Thank you so much, Ellie.
It's really wonderful.
Appreciate it.
It was wonderful getting to chat with Juice members Ben and Kamau all about music, touring, tennis, and obviously Juice. And with that, I will wish you a wonderful rest of your day, evening, night, wherever you are. And I will see you guys very soon. Have liked what you heard here today, I will also say that if you and I would like to go together to the Juice concert, it is happening in Vancouver. They're coming back to Vancouver February 3rd, 2024 at the Biltmore Cabaret. So make sure you get tickets. I will see you guys there. If you want to play tennis with us beforehand, also let me know. But thank you again to Juice. Thank you again to Juice for a really lovely chat. And see you guys soon. Bye.